Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are when you are listening, this is the Monsters and Friends podcast. As always, I am your host, Michael Patrick, and the same as last week, Barry is still on vacation. This week, I've been getting some really random postcards from different places that Barry has visited. Normally when we go on vacation, you or I, you'd think of going somewhere nice and warm and tropical like Hawaii or Florida, maybe even Louisiana, right? Head down for Mardi Gras, coming up in a few weeks here. But not Barry. He doesn't do the normal vacation spots. Rather, I've been getting postcards from places like Galena, Illinois and Toledo, Ohio. You know, I'm going to assume that Barry is probably going to be back sometime this week, but honestly, who really knows? Trying to guess what a 6-foot-tall Bigfoot is going to do is kind of like trying to count the stars in the sky. It's just not possible, but your best guess is pretty much all you can do. Barry kind of does his own thing. Either way, I'm here and I'm still holding down the fort at the cabin, and no amount of snow and ice is going to keep me away. This past week has been a crazy one, especially with the weather. But the fire is crackling, the cider is warm, and everything else is all good in the wood. However, with that being said, this week's cryptid is one that I'm actually very excited about. The lads at Small Town Monsters are actually going to be talking about this week's cryptid, and I couldn't be more excited to see what they come up with. So, let's jump right into episode 8 of the Monsters and Friends podcast. And this week, we're going to talk about a cryptid that is a real purveyor of picnics, and he's a real dog lover. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the Missouri Monster, better known as Momo. All over the U.S., there are many different types of cryptids. Some of them live in lakes like Champ, some fly over us like the Bat Squatch, but a large amount of them actually call the woods and wilderness home. No, we're not talking about Barry in this case. Barry's different. He lives in a cabin. It's a very cute cabin. If you told him that, he'd be very happy. The ones that we're going to be talking about are the ones that lurch through the woods, feasting on all sorts of animals, and occasionally on our family pets. Worst case scenario, they might munch on us too. There's actually a theory that's been going around a lot, and I was reading a little bit about it this week, that a lot of the hikers that go missing in national parks out west usually can be attributed to one of Momo's close relatives. Not sure I believe that, but hey, man, makes for good stories, right? However, each region seems to have some sort of hairy bipedal cryptid that calls the forests and the fields home, and in this case, Momo is no different. He's not been in the public's radar for that long. The first time that Momo burst onto the scene was in 1971, just outside of a town called Louisiana, Missouri. And that's in the state of Missouri. It's not the state of Louisiana. You know, gosh, if Barry hears this, trying to explain that is going to take hours. Oh, pray for me. Anyway, Momo is seemingly a pretty close relative of Bigfoot. Like most other bipedal cryptids, Momo calls the forest and the hills home. If you were to ask somebody, what does Momo look like? They would probably tell you that he's pretty handsome. Or not, actually. He's been described as being kind of a large creature. Most folks think he's around 7 feet tall, maybe a little bit less. He has long hair that folks describe as shaggy, and it covers his face. Very similar to that of a shag carpet. The color of that hair is described as being very dark. Most folks would call it black or dark brown. One gentleman actually referred to it as being as black as coal. One of the things that really makes Momo stand out from his bipedal counterparts is that he has a large pumpkin-shaped head. Poor guy. Trying to get through doors must be really difficult. Not only that, he also smells absolutely terrible. People have said that when he's around, they smell something that kind of smells like rotting flesh of a dead animal or really rotten, gross garbage. None of which really seem all that fantastic and probably not very good on first dates. Now, one of the tricky parts about a lot of cryptids is record keeping. It's very difficult to accurately figure out where they're all coming from, where they were all seen, where they're going, so on and so forth. Momo is no different. There's a contradicting record as far as when the first recorded sighting of Momo is. I've seen three or four different dates that range somewhere in between 1965 and 1972. But one of the first ones that really seemed like it might be true was in 1968, and it was located in a suburb of St. Louis. Momo actually came into a kid's backyard where a four-year-old was playing. He grabbed the four-year-old and tried to take off, but the kid's aunt came out of the house screaming, which of course startled Momo, who dropped the kid and took off into the woods. The weirdest part about that whole situation, though, was that they didn't find any evidence. No hair, no tracks, no disturbance in the woods, nothing. Just an eyewitness report. However, it didn't take very long for there to be more reported sightings throughout the region, but the first officially documented sighting happened in 1971. It happened outside of the town of Louisiana, Missouri, like we talked about before, which is located along the Mississippi River. There were two women named Joan Mills and Mary Ryan who decided they were going to have a picnic along Highway 79. While they were picnicking, they smelled some sort of terrible odor, and they looked up and they saw a large creature standing in the bushes looking at them. They were a little nervous when they saw this, especially when this creature started to make some sort of weird gurgling noise. At that point, they decided that it was probably in their best decision to get the heck out of there, so they ran to their car. Like any creepy cryptid would do, Momo decided it would be a good time to come out of the woods, and he started to stroke the vehicle. He made his way along the side of the vehicle, and according to the two ladies, he tried to get inside. Now, there's no real record about what he was doing, if he tried to grab the doorknobs and pull them open, or the door latches and pull them open, or if he just kind of touched them. If you've ever seen video of an ape or some other creatures, they know that when you touch certain things or how things operate by watching you. So there is a chance that Momo knew how to open a door by seeing it in the past. But either way, the two ladies decided they did not want to stick around and find out, so they laid on their horn. When they honked the horn, Momo got a little bit nervous and he backed away from the car. They continued to honk, which led Momo to decide to flee the scene. Now, as any self-respecting creepy cryptid who likes to lurch out of the woods towards women would do, he decided to grab the half-eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwich that was on the picnic blanket, throw it into his mouth, swallow it down, and then say a bye-bye. The ladies described this creature as having a man-like face, but it was covered with long, shaggy, dark hair. This lends credence to one of the possible explanations for what Momo is, but we'll get into that towards the end of the podcast. These two women had an encounter with this gross, nasty creature, and throughout the course of the next year, there were various sightings kind of throughout the region. Nothing crazy. People kind of saw, you know, something out of the corner of their eye, or they smelt something, or they heard something in the woods. But on July 11th, 1972, was the next real sighting of Momo. Terry Harrison and his little brother were playing near the woods outside of their house. Their sister Doris was in the house cleaning dishes when she heard a scream. She looked out the window, and she saw over at the tree line was a creature. It stood somewhere, according to her, between 6 and 7 feet tall. It was watching the two boys who were playing in the yard, and, again, like any creepy creature would, it had a dead dog underneath its arm, and Momo was covered in blood. When Doris ran outside, she started screaming, and she told the boys to get in the house. At that point, the creature decided it was in his best interest to get back out of there, so he retreated back into the woods. Later on that afternoon, when their dad Edgar got home, they told him what happened, and he decided that he was going to get a friend from church, and they were going to go and look around the woods surrounding the house to see if they could find this creature, or man, or whatever it was. Of course, they weren't able to find the creature, but they were able to find some evidence. They found some black hairs, and they also found the brush around where this creature was kind of beat down. So think about where an animal path would be, or if you saw somewhere where a bear laid down and slept, it kind of looked like that. During the week, Edgar obviously kind of kept his eyes on the woods, but on the evening of July 14th, Edgar had some folks over to his house. It wasn't out of the ordinary for Edgar to invite people over from church, so they were all there together. At one point, as the evening came to a close and everyone was leaving, Edgar and some of these other folks heard an odd noise coming from the water tank up on top of the hill near their house. Imagine someone was throwing rocks on a piece of sheet metal. You hear like that ting, tink, tink. So they heard somebody chucking rocks up there, and they thought it was the local teenagers. Of course, at that point, him and a couple of other folks decided to go up the hill and check to see what they could find out. But before they were able to get up there, they heard some pretty gnarly animal growls and incredibly loud noises. At this point, the Harrisons urged Edgar to please not go up the hill and get them the heck out of there. So they actually all packed in their van and they took off. The Harrisons decided that this wasn't an area that they wanted to stay in, but Edgar could not leave it alone. Later that evening, he got some of the folks together from church and within the town, and they went off to investigate Marzolf Hill. As they got up towards the top of the hill, they found an old building that had this terrible, disgusting odor that smelled a lot like moldy horse and rotten garbage. It kind of looked like somebody had been living inside the hill, so they had decided that this may be where this creature had decided to bunk up, and maybe this is where it slept at night. Over the course of the next week or so, there was some various happenings that happened around the town. Now, Edgar and some other folks had decided they wanted to continue investigating Marzolf Hill, and at one point, Edgar had actually taken time off of work and camped out at the bottom of the hill. There weren't a whole lot of sightings, but that terrible, terrible, disgusting smell and odor seemed to constantly be lingering in the air. On July 20th, the men decided that they wanted to go back up and look around Marzolf Hill, and they went up to where that old building that they had found was. Around the building, there were trees that were stripped of all of their leaves and some of their low-hanging branches, and that disgusting, gross smell was even stronger than it was before. The folks at the local dump had discovered that somebody had actually been digging through the dump, and they were making some pretty giant holes, so they were assuming that Momo, that's probably how he got this disgusting smell. He was going to the dump and he was being like a pig and rolling around in the nasty stuff. Who really knows what he was looking for? Maybe he was looking for food. Maybe he was looking for his next meal. Maybe he was just looking for clothes. Who really knows, right? Also in the area, they had noticed that a few of the local dog graves had also been dug up and the bones were scattered around. If there was any flesh left on these dogs, the dogs were cleaned off and these poor unfortunate little souls were no longer resting in peace. Over the course of the next week or two, there were some various sightings of Momo throughout the town of Louisiana. There's a gentleman named Ellis Miner who saw the creature about 20 feet away from the front of his house. He went and he grabbed a spotlight and he turned it on the creature. The creature stopped, kind of like a deer in headlights, or a Momo in headlights in this situation, and he decided to book back into the woods. Ellis had described this creature as being somewhere between 6 and 7 feet tall, and he had a hair as black as coal. He said the hair hung down over his face, so he didn't get a good look at what his face looked like, but he thought that it kind of resembled that of a man. Of course, things had to happen to make things a little bit weird, and over the course of the next week, at the Freddie Robbins farm, somebody found a footprint that only had three toes. They went ahead and they called MUFON, which is the it's the UFO Research Corps in the U.S., and someone had come out and they actually made a plaster cast of this. The cast apparently does exist. There are pictures of what might be it on the Google machine, but again, I mean, you really can be completely and totally positive, so take it with a grain of salt. They did find more, however, throughout different locations around Louisiana, Missouri, but again, there's no real definitive evidence, and it's just kind of strange how they found the three toes of this potential bipedal primate. So, I don't really know what to tell you. What is weird, though, is that as quickly as Momo came, Momo disappeared. He wasn't around very long, but there were quite a few sightings of him. The one thing that everyone always did say was that they had that overwhelming odor of Momo, and that's how they knew he was somewhere around their home. There were a few reports of seeing Momo crossing streets. A local fisherman saw him crossing the river, or wading through the river, doing something in the river. There wasn't a whole lot of information about that. So Momo was pretty active in that region. That takes us to, what is Momo? There is always the default that Momo is some sort of large bipedal primate that lives in the woods and has adapted over time in order to hide better, or he's kind of nomadic and he and or his family have moved around the country a little bit more to get away from the heat in Louisiana, I guess. I don't really know if a bipedal cryptid primate would feel the heat, but you never really know. If he's smart enough to learn how to try and open up a car door, I'm sure he is smart enough to know that maybe it's not the best and brightest idea to stick around when folks with guns, pitchforks, torches, dogs, whatever, start coming around where you call home. One of the other theories that I have seen floated around is that Momo is actually not a cryptid at all, and he is a Native American gentleman that calls the forests of the area around Louisiana, Missouri home. This gentleman is somewhere between 6 and 6.5 feet tall, so he's somewhere like 6'5", 6'6". He has long, dark, curly hair, so that would kind of describe the shaggy look that Momo likes to pull off. And also, he's just really dirty and grimy, as he calls the forest home. I'm going to assume that he probably would shower from time to time, which would describe why they see him down by the river. Not in a van, but just down by the river. But obviously, he's going to go and he's going to hunt and he's going to try to find food. So that it could explain the neighborhood dogs going missing from time to time. That could also explain him digging up graves, or maybe that was just another scavenger completely unrelated. But it would make some sort of sense that there was someone that lived out in the woods. I feel like a cryptid wouldn't live in an old abandoned building. So that being said, there was a chance that this person made that building their home. And that terrible, gross smell was just, I mean, don't shower for 3 days and work out pretty hard. You're going to smell pretty rank. So there are a lot of different things that Momo could be. And one thing that we don't know is what Momo truly is. However, some of the things that we do know is that the folks over at Small Town Monsters are actually putting together a film about the story of Momo. So go ahead, give them some money, help out the Kickstarter, get the movie made, and while you're at it, go ahead and check out their little documentary about Champ, as well as The Beast of Bray Road, and I think they have a couple of other ones out on Amazon. So check them out. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Monsters and Friends podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We're also on iHeartRadio and Spotify, so you can check us out there as well. And if you want to say hello, obviously, you can go to the Twitter, We are at MNF Pod. If you go to Instagram, we're at Monsters and Friends. Facebook, you can go ahead and search for the Monsters and Friends podcast, and we'll pop up. Go ahead, hit that like button. Smash the like button, dude. I think that's what people say. I don't really know. Or you can always go the route of the email and send us an email at monstersandfriends@gmail.com. One of the cool changes that is going to happen here on the Monsters and Friends podcast is we are going to start making a weekly show. So tune in, check it out, let us know what you want to hear about, and I promise we'll see you again real soon.